Welcome to the officially titled Otaku DX Show with Veef and Deef. This is the official podcast for otaku.collectiondx.com, which may at some point be Otaku DX. I don't know if they're going to do that yet. So I am Andrew, sometimes known as Veef, and you could follow me on Twitter at VF5SS. A bunch of letters and one number. It's great.
And I am Michael, also known as D-Kun, or Deef in the case of this show. You can follow me also on Twitter at @Draega_Kun. That's D-R-E-Y-G-A. You know the other half.
Okay. All right. So we are going to talk a little bit about the news, because this is the current events podcast. The first thing I thought was kind of interesting was, in the wake of the success of Kick Heart, the short anime funded through Kickstarter, somebody, a Japanese and Thai IT service, launched this thing called AniPeepo, which is basically crowdsourcing for animation projects. And I think it's kind of interesting that something actually did come out of Kick Heart, although there was a lot of gnashing of teeth by some older fans because it didn't quite hit it out of the park. It just barely made its goal.
Well, it met its second goal.
Yeah.
I actually got to watch the countdown they had on YouTube. They did a live stream of it. I think their goal was 150,000. They made 200,000 at least, as I recall.
Okay.
I've been hearing people go back and forth a lot over Kick Heart, but I'm glad it's getting made.
Yeah. I feel really bad for my friend SD Samshell at Ogi Yui Maniacs, because he was trying to plead with people not to get irate at others who didn't want to fund it. The way he phrased it is, it was like, I support Kick Heart, but I'm not going to go around smacking video games out of people's hands saying, don't spend $60 here, spend it on Kick Heart.
Yeah, I did see a couple conversations like that. I can see how that could be interpreted poorly. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because I feel like the crowdsourcing is replacing one of the ways that I've heard OVAs got money back in the 80s, which was going to the mob and getting money. Or just getting funded by the mob. Because in Japan, the Yakuza just love to do so many socially conscious products or projects. But, yeah. Yeah, that's all I really wanted to say about this.
It's just been announced. It hasn't really done anything yet.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, my take on this whole crowdsourcing thing is that it could be a source of, you know, wonderful things, or it could be a source of many terrible things, because, you know what, guys? That's capitalism. You know, if you want to put your ideas out there, you are still at the mercy of what people want to see.
Very true, very true. I feel like crowdsourcing has been kind of specifically Kickstarter, has been kind of shed in a negative light because of some stuff that happened recently. But
You mean like the person trying to make the trackball controller?
Sure, we'll go with that.
It's a stupid project.
There are a lot of stupid projects. There's a lot of cool projects, both of which have not been funded. But I feel like at the very least, this would be a way to get some cool stuff that would not get made otherwise. This is me being as optimistic as possible.
Yeah, one of my friends said that what he really wants to see from Kickstarter is a new high-definition version of Night Trap.
Huh.
Have you heard of Night Trap?
I have not. What is that?
This was a game for the Sega CD. It's kind of infamous because it was one of the games that got awful person who wanted to censor video games really started on his crusade. I think maybe Joel Lieberman was there too. And because it featured, you know, scenes of girls getting chased by weird guys in black suits.
Weird guys, huh?
Yeah, it's a game. The whole idea is that you flip around the whole house, different camera views, and you...
Oh, that thing!
Yeah.
That game is weird.
Yeah, it is. FMV games were just kind of a weird thing back then, but...
I'm glad they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they
not gonna lie.
Well, now they just got rid of all the animation and made visual novels.
Yeah.
All right, any other news you wanted to touch on this week?
Just a couple weeks ago was the Time Machine Asian show. And as is tradition, Bandai showed off a lot of cool new stuff that may or may not be coming out in the foreseeable future. And there's actually a link to this. I'll give it to you right now in case you aren't there right now. But I think the biggest thing that got the most reaction out of people is the fact that they're making SH Figuard out of Sailor Moon.
Yeah, it's been a long time for Sailor Moon fans. One of my friends, her first anime was Sailor Moon. And she's, like, a lot of the fans just been waiting with bated breath for more Sailor Moon stuff.
Yeah. They're also doing a chibi arts of her, which has not gotten as much coverage in comparison. I think people are just being too busy oohing and aahing over the notion of a posable Sailor Moon action figure.
Yeah, because the only thing that they ever got before were some terrible doll figures.
Yeah.
Very long time ago.
It's pretty rough for them, I'm not going to lie.
No, yeah, it's been kind of a journey for Sailor Moon. I mean, for some reason, they couldn't make any merchandise for a while. There was some kind of weird rights thing or some kind of freeze on the assets or something like that. It was very... very weird because it's such a popular property, but...
Yeah. Well, but I guess with the 20th anniversary and the fact that there's that new anime coming out next year, perfect time to get in on that cash cow.
Featuring a theme song by my friend Richard's favorite band, Moimorai Clover Z. Which is...
I've actually not listened to them before.
They're very high energy. They did the theme song to Bodacious Space Pirates.
I watched one episode of that show. That's all I have to say.
Wasn't quite as bodacious as they were saying it was.
It was not Moiretsu as I liked it to be.
Okay.
But
yeah.
They also announced a couple others that really caught me off guard, like one of the main female characters from God Eaters, a game that I don't think anyone actually played. And also Noelle from Blaze Blue as well. And
yeah, it's rough because we don't really get a lot of good video game action figure characters.
As a big fan of various fighting games, I know the pains of this. Like you would not believe.
Yeah, they did show off a nice display with two Terry Bogards, one player color and two player color.
Yeah.
With all the character like. Blank bodies in the background doing all the various moves. And for some reason people thought those were like Street Fighter characters. It's like, no, that's all SNK stuff, guys.
Oh, you know. It's the curse of Time Machine Nation shows where it's like, we see something out of focus in the background. If we squint hard enough, it might look like something.
Well, I think people would have clued in because one of those moves was, you know, the Ryo or Robert or Takuma, the Haoshokoken, which is a move that I have burned into my brain now, because when I was a kid, I rented the first Art of Fighting game for SNES, and every time I play the story mode, you have to unlock that move by doing it 5 times before the timer runs out in a little challenge thing. And I made sure to do that every single time I play the story mode.
You have to unlock it.
And only in the story mode, not in the versus mode.
Okay, I was... okay.
Yeah, the story mode
that
has a...
that almost makes more sense, except for the part where it's idiotic.
Well, no, because the story mode has, like, a... It's like a challenge you can go to either...
Oh, okay.
You can learn the Haoshokoken, you can get more spirit power, you can get more health. I usually just did the Haoshokoken one, because that was, like, hey, giant-ass fireball. The other challenges were, like, you know, tap the button super fast to make your guy charge up and then, like, cut ice. No, it was cut ice with his hand to the karate chop. Oh, yeah, and the other one to get, like, more spirit or something was to cut the tops off of bottles, glass bottles.
SNK has the weirdest freaking minigames.
Yeah, well, that's a classic kung fu thing. Cutting the necks off of bottles. All right. Other cool stuff from Time Machine Nations that, you know, the other website gets to cover.
Yeah.
VF-171 in mass production colors.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that's not coming out until, or they aren't soliciting orders for it until March. So a nice reprieve for me because
December's going to suck.
Yeah, the VF-171 Alto armor pack is coming out, and also...
Oh shit, that's coming out then too?
Yeah, and also Mr. VF-4.
Oh man.
Mr. the VF-4. Okay, so, we done with news, you think?
Yes, I do believe so. Was there anything else you want to bring up?
No, I can't really think of anything.
Alright, I think we're good on news then.
Okay, so what'd you get recently?
It was a pretty light week, unfortunately, for me. Just waiting on stuff in the mail at this point. I got my hands on some more Glios again. more Armivores again. But, I got a bit of a story to this one, because I got a friend of mine, Liz, and she goes to New York Comic Con because she's over in Massachusetts. And I said, hey, if you're going to be there, so you still owe me $20 for a book. So get some of these for me. And she was like, all right. And so she went to the Glios booth. And they were sold out apparently on Friday or something.
Oh.
But in the process, while she was there, she actually met our very own Josh B. By happenstance.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. But she was still willing to pick them up for me when the drop went on live online. And so I got me a cool glow-in-the-dark one and a cool purple one. Review should be up soon.
Cool.
Yes. And I got one other thing, and this is really freaking pushing it, but I love this thing so much I don't care. Right now at Burger King, they have Nintendo Wii U toys. And so they have a couple, like, plastic versions of, like, the stupid-looking console. But they also have Nintendo characters, like a little Mario and Luigi figure.
I have not seen what the console looks like, actually.
It looks like an iPad with some buttons on it.
No, that's the controller.
Yeah. It's the whole thing to me. Anyway, they had what I got, because I got a kid's meal. I can't remember the last time I got one of those. I got
tiny,
a little green Koopa shell.
Aww.
And it's got a wind-up thing, so if you roll it back, it winds and goes and crashes into my gummy bears.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
So you can get rid of pursuers if you are racing along your go-kart.
I was this close to getting some of those Kinex go-kart sets after I got this thing. It was really bad.
Yeah, it's good memories playing whichever Mario Kart you grew up on.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's the old SNES one.
I've actually never played that one.
It's alright.
It was before my time.
I would say the N64 one is pretty good, except for the fact that nowadays it looks like ass. Because yeah. It's one of those games that uses the pre-rendered sprites where they use... Mm-hmm. They just took, like, 3D models and took pictures of it to make sprites.
Yeah, it doesn't age very well.
No. Just like all the Donkey Kong Country games.
Well, the Donkey Kong Countries, they don't look as bad because Donkey Kong is kind of far away. Well, the carts in the N64 Mario Kart game are in your face.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, that's true. Right in the middle. Unless you do the first-person view.
Mm-hmm. But no one does that.
No one does that. Okay, so stuff that I got. This might make you a little jealous, but I got my Telos. Then I took a picture next to her little sister. The terrible motion revive figure.
Mine should be here in a week or so.
Yeah, well, I hope. It was a shame because I had just done an order at HLJ for Telos and my Shooting Gabe Historica box.
Mm-hmm.
And like a week later, the Masterpiece Lambor, aka Sideswipe, comes in stock, and I'm like, crap.
Aww.
I could have put that in the same box and shipped that all together. So instead, I just shipped the Lambor Sal, which was cheap.
Aww. So Yeah.
Still waiting on it, though. Telos, she's Telos from Xenosaga 3 and 2.
Now, you never played Xenosaga, did you?
No.
But you did play Endless Frontier.
Yes.
So you at least have some familiarity with the character.
Yeah, I also watched a couple of cinematics from the Xenosaga games.
Mm-hmm.
So, something.
If you watched the cinematics, you already played the game.
Well, I didn't watch all of them. It was like something, Magdalene, something, Kevin, something.
Alan gets his ass handed to him.
Shion, I need to be cleaned. It's like, okay. It's basically like all I learned from those games is that everybody really just wants there to be this great love triangle between Telos and... They're not... Well, maybe Telos. Between Shion and Cosmos and somebody else.
Who was telling you this? Because those people are wrong and dumb.
What, you don't like thinking of Cosmos as Shion's replacement for a boyfriend?
Not really, it's just the fact that it's wrong.
Alright. Yeah, so she's a little sparse on accessories. She only goes with her gun and her knuckle buster thing.
Honestly, Telos as a character doesn't have that much, so...
Well, they do show that she can use Cosmos' Gatling guns. And in fact, if you bought the Motion Revive figures, Telos came with 2 Gatling guns and Cosmos only came with 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, does have the boob cannon. Now, one of the funny things, though, is that I put her next to the Motion Revive figure, which is smaller. It's about it's like G.I. Joe-sized.
Yeah, about.
And the Motion Revive did actually have bigger breasts than the Figma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, huh, that's kind of funny.
What I found really funny about that toy is, like, one of the first things people did were they, when pictures came from Japanese blogs, was look at its ass.
Yeah.
And people were not satisfied with how much booty she had.
No.
Canceling pre-orders based on that.
No. Here's the problem is, because she's, like, more naked than Cosmos is, there's no really good way to do her buttocks. To have it...
Her leg section in general.
Yeah, to split it up right so that it looks okay. It actually looks better relatively on the Motion Revive because they just kind of give her, like, a singlet down there.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't really look that great, but it's not quite as broken up. It's like, okay, 2 grown men talking about an action figure's ass, but anyway.
It's the internet.
Yeah. So let's
what else did you expect to do on the show?
Let's get on something that isn't quite so lewd. My shooting game Historica, I forget which volume it is, but it's basically little trading figures of various player characters from shooting games, you know, like your Raidens, your, there was one from Star Soldier in there. I didn't care about that one. I bought it. It was on sale in HLJ because HLJ sales are, you know, really tempting. It was like $9 for a box of them.
Was it like 10 or 6 of them?
It was 6 of them.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I did manage to get 2 duplicates.
Oh.
2 sets of duplicates in the box. Because I was looking to get the Raiden Mark II from the Raiden games, which is a little red fighter ship. And to get the blue robot from Wolfang, because Wolfang is a pretty cool game. I got the little blue tank thing from this game. I don't know what it is, but the tank itself is called the Maneuver Scepter Granada. I don't know if that's the name of the game or whatever. I just never heard of the game. I got one of the submarines from the game. I got 2 submarines from the game In the Hunt. Those are one of the duplicates, or the doubles. I got the Caesar, which is spelled wrong on the package, from the game Star Soldier, which is a pretty well-known shooter game from the PC Engine era. I think there was also an arcade version of it, too. I did get the Raiden Fighter, and I also got... Oh, that's it. That's all 6. So I'm probably just going to keep the Raiden fighter and one of the submarines from In the Hunt. The quality on these isn't too bad. The sub actually came out the best because it has fewest parts that can get warped. It's a nice solid chunk of PVC. It has like an optional, you can take off the front of the bow and there's a little like Yamato style front in there.
I noticed that when I was looking at it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's kind of funny. I don't know what it actually does in the game, because I actually played the game because I got the figure. It's like, oh, let me try this out, and we'll get to that. With the Raiden fighter, I didn't actually know how to put it together at first, because there were no instructions with any of the figures. So I kind of had...
Because these were gashapons, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they would have like a tiny little leaflet or just a common set of instructions in the back, but no, it just has a list of all of them. And because what you could do, you can put it together, then you can also swap out parts to have the powered up mode. What I couldn't figure out was you actually can take off the top part of the tail, the red part, and then you can attach the little metal swing arms for the wing sections. So it's kind of cool that it actually has metal on it, but it's unfortunately a little loose. It doesn't quite stay together when you have it in powered up mode with the wings at their farthest point, and then you kind of thread in these unfurled like gun pods in between the wings and then the main body. So it's fairly solid when you put it together in like standard mode, but not really so much in the open mode. But still it's cool. It's the Raiden fighter.
Yeah.
The engines in the back swivel for VTOL mode.
Yay.
All right, so did you get anything else, or has that basically been it?
I think that's about it.
All right.
It's been pretty light. I've mostly been just waiting on Telos and getting ready for more pre-orders, which, by the way, Good Smile Company announced what figures are coming out the end of November. What I find really funny is the fact that Figma Black Lotus is slated for release, and they haven't said anything about Silver Crow from Excel World.
Yeah.
Silver Crow was supposed to come out before Black Lotus. And, nothing about Tekkaman Blade either.
Yeah. I don't know if they just don't have the capacity to make all these figures or what.
It has to be something like that, because how many got pushed back last time we were talking about this? Like 6 or 8?
I don't know. What is this, Figma Link out yet?
Figma Link is going to come out at the end of November. Okay. Apparently. So there's at least that.
Yeah. All right. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so have you been playing anything new?
Playing anything new? Not anything new, but I've been playing a lot of Team Fortress and Killing Floor. Halloween events and whatnot. Made to occupy you and make people really angry on the internet. Maybe it's just me, but like, if I may talk about Team Fortress 2 for a second here. The Halloween event, Scream Fortress, that brings out the worst in people. And by the worst, I mean it makes everyone stupider. It's because you got people like, you know, guilt killing people and all that good stuff. And honestly, I could care less if you're doing that. But I have to listen to other people whine. And I hate that so much.
That's why I try to avoid the big multiplayer games unless I'm playing with friends. If I get a new computer soon, I'm going to try out the MechWarrior Online beta. Because it went to open beta, and people have been posting videos and streaming and whatever, and wow, the game looks shitty. Not visually, it looks very pretty, but it's like, hey,
yeah,
it's MechWarrior. It's like, it's even worse than MechWarrior 4. Because now that the NDA has been lifted, I can tell you what Ben, aka Prometheum 5, told me.
Please do share.
He said, Andrew, I got invited to the closed beta. I was like, okay. And then he came back like a day later or something. And he was like, Andrew, MechWarrior Online is not a good game. I can't figure out how to shoot people.
What?
Well, the biggest problem with the MechWarrior games is that and this has been true since the fucking first one from 1989, is it's so easy just to shoot people in critical areas. Like, mm-hmm. legging, shoot an arm off or whatever. It's way too easy. Because you have precision weapons and really slow-ass robots. And I think their way of trying to avoid this was to make it a lot harder to aim your weapons.
Oh, really? That makes sense.
Well, one thing you can do now is you can actually have your arms track separately. But it's like...
Oh, okay.
Like, why don't you just have, like, auto-tracking, like, Armored Core? So this wouldn't be a problem, but whatever. I heard that from other people that the way they also fix the problem of people just, you know, gluing on more guns was to nerf all the weapons so that they're terrible. But, yeah, it's whatever. I need to play it before I can judge it harshly. So, I'd had a really shitty morning today.
Aw.
Oh, because, you know, I actually had to go out and clean up that mess from Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, yeah.
Where two trees fell in my backyard.
At least it didn't fall on you this time.
No, I was very lucky that that tree was removed during the last storm.
Mm-hmm.
But then these were pine trees, so they're covered in pine tar.
Ew.
Yeah. So, you know, after getting all dirty up, to, all dirty, and grunting like a man and feeling super manly, I come here to talk about Japanese cartoons. No, no, I went and played Just Cause 2 for a while. And I've gotten past a couple of the story missions, and the story in Just Cause 2 is so terrible. Like,
they don't play that game for story.
No, man. No, but it's like I wish I could ignore it, but it's so bad. Because this one mission you have to do, you have to rescue Jade Tan. Like, I didn't play the first game, so I don't know these characters.
No one played the first
game. Yeah, nobody played the first game, but it's like, okay, so rescue the hot Asian chick. And, you know, you're going along, you come out to where she's being taken away. This colonel guy summons a bunch of ninjas. And Rico, in his amazing, you know, Hispanic accent, is like, I hate ninjas. It's like, really? Really, Rico? You hate ninjas? It's like, And then, one of the worst things is that Rico's mentor in this universe is this guy named Sheldon. And he's like your stereotypical, like, American kind of chunky guy. Got a bit of a southern accent. And, okay, so it's revealed that there's, like, three dudes who were trying to run everything in the island nation of Panao. Mm-hmm. Which in itself is a collection of stereotypes that America likes to fuck with.
Yep.
I feel like the game is only made slightly less racist by the fact that, you know, Rico is Hispanic. And I think that's how they pass off, you know, all these random-ass foreigners trusting Rico, because he's not a white guy. It's like, yeah, you're not, you know, white. We can trust you. You murder everybody and then grapple hook the remains, but, you know...
You grapple hook bodies to other bodies.
Yeah. To be honest, the best character in the game is the grappling hook. And
I can agree with that.
Yeah, and then the next mission... Okay, so there's, like, a Chinese guy, a Japanese guy, and a Russian guy. And I thought I was going to, like, okay, I'm going to kill one at a time. You know, each guy one at a time. No! They are all in the friggin' Three Kings Hotel... because they had to put in that reference to the George Clooney movie. And you kill the Chinese guy, and he just kind of shoots at you, and he throws grenades at you, talking about the power of Chinese firecrackers. Yeah. The Japanese guy, he has a satellite missile system, which is apparently only like 20 stories above you. Because he could just, you know, point to it in the sky. It's like, okay.
Maybe it's just really, really big, and it's a perspective trick.
Well, the game can't really handle... Well, yeah, actually, yeah. It could handle it being that high, but they just didn't do it, because they don't care about the story. So most of the time, it was just him trying to target you, but the laser's getting too close to him, so all the missiles would hit him. But the last guy is the worst one, the Russian guy.
Oh, jeez.
Who summons his tank. It's not a tank. He just summons. There are no tanks in the game. He just gets one of the APCs dropped down on him and mans the turret, and you can't shoot him until your buddy Sheldon, his helicopter, distracts him for a little bit. Okay, and so you can't approach him, too, because he has mines all around him, so you have to wait until he's pointing at Sheldon, and then you just shoot him from the side. So Sheldon decides to be a total idiot and crashes his helicopter into the Russian guy while shouting, like, "Eat freedom!" I think that's what he said. I don't remember. It's like something freedom, and it's like...
Oh, jeez.
And he almost falls off the tops of the tower, and Rico catches him, and he's like, "You know, Rico, any good American..." Or like, and he says, "I'm as American as apple pie, and you know Americans hate the commies." It's like, oh, shut up. Anyway.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
Anyway, but I after this, I just like... played the game for like an hour without dying, and I like murdered thousands of people and felt better. But I have a theory about this game. Okay, hear me out on this. Right. Okay, so using the grappling hook, one thing you can do is you can like grapple to the ground or like a nearby hill, and if you double tap the X button while you're reeling in, he will deploy his parachute and then immediately let it go. So he actually kind of shoots up in the air, kind of jumps really high. And this is one of the best ways to like go to travel really quickly, is to just kind of keep doing that. So combining that with the fact that with a fully upgraded machine gun and a submachine gun, you can take out almost anything on foot. Because I murdered like 30 fucking helicopters today. Because they just keep sending gunships after you, you know? It's like, fine, come on. It's like, just try to fucking kill me. I'll just shoot you down with my friggin' machine gun. And the fact that you are killing so many foreigners in this game. So we have high firepower. It's like, okay, so we have a lot of firepower on foot. We have the ability to travel really quickly over rough terrain. We have lots of dead, you may say, illegal aliens. I think Just Cause 2 is the secret Starship Troopers game.
Huh? That makes more sense than it should.
I know. It's like... No, because at first when I was doing all this stuff, it's like, man, I'm just like jumping everywhere with this friggin' grappling hook. And I was like, this is the Iron Man game that I wish they would make. And I was like, no! This is the Starship Troopers game I wish they would make. So, yeah. I also, because I was playing a couple of shooter games, I played In the Hunt, the game with the submarines. So this was done by the same team who did the Metal Slug games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
is that Playmore? Or...
It was a team that went to work for SNK Playmore. Mm. But I actually thought it was a Neo Geo game at first. It's like, no, it's for... regular MAME, not, you know, Wink Walks or whatever. It's interesting that it's got a lot of really great, like, sprite art, you know, a lot of cool tricks, like you're in a submarine, the whole point of the game. There's, like, water effects when you shoot your torpedoes, the depth charges that you deploy, they actually descend through the water, like, realistically. They kind of bob around a little bit. And there's a lot of like weird touches to realism that kind of don't help the fact that the game is really chaotic. You can only shoot like two torpedoes at a time. It would kind of suck because that's your only forward firepower.
Oh.
You have to surface in order to shoot things that are in the air, like helicopters or airplanes. And the depth charges, again, because they go really slowly... it's hard to use them to hit things below you or behind you, but that's the only way you can attack things that are below and behind you. So, also your sub is really slow, even with speed power up. So there's a lot of like fast moving projectiles, and especially this one part where you have to go through a volcano section, underwater volcano, and in various parts there's just big like lava rocks just shooting out and at high speeds at odd angles. And it's like, I just kept dying during this part. And it's like, ah, crap. So it's like, it's interesting, but it's not really that good as far as like shooters go. I feel like a good shooter is, makes you feel like you can win without being, you know, an obsessed otaku who learns every single pattern and every single thing. But, you know, again, it was cool looking. I liked one part where you had to fight this giant stone idol boss who was crawling up through this huge chasm, and you had to keep going up and up and up. One cool thing is the fact that it doesn't auto-scroll. There's actually just a timer, kind of like in Metal Slug. So you actually have...
Okay.
Yeah, you have to progress through the level without... before the timer...
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, before the timer runs out. So yeah, I beat the game. It wasn't too hard. I noticed that during the win scene, there's like all these people lined up on the docks to cheer you on as your submarine goes and does a little victory lap. And at one point, these tiny little sprite people like jump off the dock. I guess they were trying to congratulate you personally inside your submarine. But that was kind of silly. So, the other game that I played, because I was like, well, I'm playing shooter games, so I'll just download this. I mean, I played it before, the Macross Plus arcade game, which is one of the, I think it's like, yeah, there are only three of these 90s Macross shooter games made by Banpresto.
Our favorite company.
Yeah, well, published by Banpresto. I forget, there's all different teams that worked on them. So, unfortunately, this is one of those games that also used a lot of 3D sprites, pre-rendered sprites. Mm-hmm. Only for the Valkyrie and some of the enemies, though, so it doesn't look too bad. I would say the coolest thing about it, though, is the fact that in addition to being able to play as, you know, Isamu or Gold, you can also play as this unnamed female pilot who kind of looks like Miyun, but she has purple hair.
I was wondering who that was when I saw the pictures.
Yeah, she doesn't have a name because there's no names on the character select screen. it's also not really a very good shooter. One thing about it is that your Valkyrie is kind of slow, and there are no speed power-ups. And the VF-11 is the best fighter because it has the best bomb weapon. They're actually mostly identical as far as like the regular weapons go. You have a wide shot for your fighter mode, and then if you go to use power ups to change between modes. The Garrowak mode is just like two beam cannons, just like straight laser beams that drill into the targets.
Uh-huh.
And Batarang mode is actually the best mode because it's basically a rapid fire spread shot that seems to do the most damage. But even though it's like the weapons just aren't as strong enough that you feel like you have a good chance of killing enemies before they kill you, I found myself just hammering the bomb button as much as I could. And the VF-11's bomb weapon, you know, the screen clearing attack, is the only one actually that can potentially clear the screen because it's just a rapid fire spread gun that is more powerful than the normal gun. The YF-19 has just a beam cannon attack, and the YF-21 has the worst bomb weapon. It's a cluster bomb that barely spreads out, so it does like no damage to anything. Yeah, it's kind of a slog to play through, but yeah, it had some nice touches. Like the first boss is this weird armored VF-1 thing. There's a little
Was that the red thing, or...?
No, the red thing is based on the VF-14.
Okay.
Which more people would probably know as the bad guy robots, the Elgazone from Macross 7.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool, because it actually transformed. You shoot off its fast packs, and then it turns around and transforms into a robot. Mm-hmm. And later on, there's gold versions of the robot that show up and menace you for a little bit, and then fly away. And you do fight the Macross at the end, complete with, you know, a Sharon Apple who shows up and then on a little screen, and then she gets all sad when you kill her.
Aww.
But if you play the game as the female pilot, she does give you a nice little shower scene. It's like, oh, thanks for that. But I feel like she needs to have a name So I was talking with SD Samshell, and he gave me the idea we're going to call her. We're going to do this Japanese style, you know, family name first. Okay, so her name is going to be Maguro Plako. Should I explain the joke?
You're going to have to explain this one to me.
Okay, so Maguro is tuna. And that was the joke with the original show. How they found a big tuna floating in space. Because it sounds like macro, like macros.
Yeah.
And Plako is just me being like, oh, plus, pulasu, but change the SU to ko.
Yeah.
You know, like a girl. Because she's the girl from Plus. Yay. Yeah, that's a terrible joke, sorry.
Oh, that's painful. Yeah, quite.
Yeah, I thought it was funny at the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we were told we should probably break these up into smaller segments so we can... I think we're going to stop it right now and we'll pick up again talking about what we've been watching.
Wait, one thing real quick.
Oh, okay.
I play one more game.
Okay, you play,
actually.
You play one more game, come on.
All right, cause I went home this weekend, and I have nothing to do in my house except play my old GameCube.
Yeah, because there's no hockey to watch.
I don't have a TV with cable in my room.
Oh, okay.
So that's my excuse.
Oh, okay. Well, also, that just reminds me how people on Twitter were upset this Sunday because Fox and NBC were playing Major League Soccer at the end.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like, because there's no hockey. It's like, why don't you show more football? It's like, we can't. We can only show, like, the games we have.
Anyway. So, because I never got around to beating this game, I picked this up again. Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door.
Oh, boy.
And have you ever played any of the Paper Mario games?
I did not, because I think the first one was for N64, like, when I was getting out of playing those games.
Okay. This is a fun, stupid game, man. Like, the first one, it's a really different game because instead of the main villain being Bowser, this one you're fighting against the X-Knots, which is, like, Mario's version of, like, Die Shocker. I mean, it's really bad because the goons, which are just called X-Knots, are the most adorable, tubby little buggers in the world.
Aww.
And I almost feel bad for hitting them. The little mittens and everything.
Hey, let me look at this picture. You saw. Oh.
Yeah. And,
They got little, like, glasses and little, like, a puppy dog cat. And
I want that cap.
You can get that cap.
But, one of the things about this game is, like, with Paper Mario, you always have a partner character you're fighting with.
Yeah.
One of the ones is a Bob-omb named Admiral Bobbery. Who looks just like the captain from Yamato.
Yeah, Captain Okita. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even got the mustache.
And he's pretty fantastic. He throws bombs at people and explodes. And has a dead wife named Scarletta.
Uh-oh.
And they play really sad piano music whenever he thinks about her. There's also a terribly moe character in this game.
Of course there is.
Yeah. It's funny because she uses fire attacks, too.
That makes sense.
Yeah. She's a new character called a Shadow Sprite named Vivian, and I feel terrible for this character because she's originally one of the bad guys with her two sisters, and the three of them are witches, and they're constantly trying to mess with people. Except Vivian is forgetful and ditzy and forgets everything. To the point where she loses a bomb that they were going to use on Mario. And then Mario helps her find it, but it's also broken. But she also forgets Mario is the bad guy. And so she just kind of goes with him, and eventually she remembers that he's Mario and she's supposed to try and kill him. And she goes away, and then she says in her head, Mario's the only person who's ever been nice to me. And it's just like, oh, I feel bad for this character.
Yeah, the same thing happened in Virtual on Mars with the one ditzy Rose sister.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fourth wall breaking with this game, too.
Well, I'd imagine, yeah.
Like, there's a point where a bad guy says, he's dressed up like a pirate, and he's just like, hey, you, in the TV. I know it's pretty obvious who I am, but don't you get any ideas about telling Mario who I am? At which point the characters say, what the heck was he talking about when he said, you in the TV? It's like, they stopped taking themselves seriously with this game, and although it kind of takes away from it a little bit, it does make it a lot funnier.
Yeah.
And that is what I've been up to.
Yeah. Reminds me of the quasi part of that game series I played was the original Super Mario RPG. Mm. Which, you know, isn't really a Mario game. It's just a square RPG with Mario characters.
But man, do so many people swear by it.
Well, the story is nice and the music is great and it looks... Mm-hmm. Okay, it's also one of those, again, pre-rendered sprites.
yeah.
But, you know, it manages to work pretty well. I have the strategy guide for it somewhere. The thing was falling apart because I used it so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back. So we will hit stop here.